Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
Wow, we have got something coming up that just seems like they come up all the time.
We hardly catch a break here at Catholic Radio. Well, that's good, though. Having a full schedule is good.
It is.
Share-a-thon's coming up in about 3 weeks. But Monsignor Shadle snagged me at the dinner, at the mm-hmm. Catholic Radio dinner, and said that he really loved our show with Annie Carteau.
Oh, yes.
And I said, what did you love about it? And he said, well, of course, she's so refreshing right. and faith-filled, and she sounds like an angel just speaking. But he really loved the music. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe during the Radiothon listeners, I'm just going to tell you, if you love music, we do weave into our Radiothon a little more music mm-hmm. than you normally hear during regular programming.
Yep. If you've never heard one, especially our listeners in Anderson, our newest station
is pretty new
in Anderson,
right?
98.3. And our Anderson listeners, this will be the first Share-a-thon we've had with those folks on board, so hopefully we'll get some good participation from that area. But anyhow, coming up November 1st and November 2nd, our Share-a-thon here on Catholic Radio.
You know, we have an interesting show today on Faith in Action. I love these kind of shows where we get to talk about vocations. We have with us today Jean Carr and Matt Render. Matt is the Director of Formation for the Indy Secular Carmelites, and Jean is actually in formation for the Indy Secular Carmelites. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, I would like to hear, first of all, what side of town you are on and what parish you belong to. And then I do want to kind of get into your vocation stories, because that's always so interesting to us and to our listeners, kind of the how, you know, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. So first of all, what do you do between 9 and 5, and what side of town parish do you belong to, Jean?
I'm a nurse at a downtown hospital. I live in the downtown area, and I'm a member of Holy Rosary.
Oh, Holy Rosary, sure, yeah. What about you, Matt?
Well, I work in financial services industry by way of actually an engineering background before
that.
Oh,
my.
And my wife and kids and I, we live just south of here a little bit in Devonshire, which is the northeast side of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
We've been parishioners at Christ the King Parish, which is near Bishop Chittard.
Sure.
And we've been there for about 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We cannot figure out how we know that name. But when I saw it, when we saw it, listeners, there may be two Matt Renders in
be.
There. There could be in the area. But I saw that and I thought, Jim, how do we know that name?
I don't know.
I thought it was from the Young Catholic group or something like that, but that's not it.
It sure seems like we're familiar with that name and
we are.
Have talked to Matt before, but we haven't.
So if there's another Matt out there, he says, hey, heck yeah, it's me.
So we're all going to learn together today.
Okay, so Jean, tell us a little bit about your vocation story.
Well, I started my vocation story when I was reading the books of Father Thomas Dubay, and he mentioned the call to deeper prayer for everyone, not just someone in religious life. And that was really something that struck me. And I had been thinking about that for a while. And I happened to look in the Criterion, and there was a picture of our local Carmelite group of the ones who had made temporary promises. And there was someone in the group that I thought I recognized. And so I called her, and she said, yes, that was me. And so we started talking back and forth about secular Carmelites, the group, just about them. And she said to me that one of the things that attracted her to the group was that so many things that the secular Carmelites do that she was already doing forever, already previously, just in her regular life. And she was telling me just kind of the things, the daily life of a Carmelite. And it struck me that, well, that's what I do also. And oh, so, you know, she invited me, and I've kind of taken it from there.
Okay. You know, it's interesting that you said that you were drawn to it because you met someone who was already kind of practicing the charism or maybe the spiritual mm-hmm. life that you had already been mm-hmm. practicing. And what was that? I mean, was that like Mass on a regular basis or prayers or the rosary or?
Well, we both found ourselves like in similar a pattern that we try to attend daily Mass, doing morning and evening prayer, daily rosary. And so it was just, you're already living the Carmelite lifestyle, even though you're not a Carmelite.
Sure. You know, it kind of sounds like, and maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more, Third Order Franciscans, because mm-hmm. my parents were Third Order Franciscans, and yet they were married. They were married, but they had a spiritual discipline almost. And then my father, when he died, was actually given sometime during his life the habit, the brown habit, and he was able to be buried in the brown habit, which was kind of cool.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, Matt, tell us a little bit about your journey to the Carmelites.
Very good. It was, I'd say, a pretty long journey. I was raised Catholic. My family wasn't. We actually had some religious vocations in my mom's family, a couple of Benedictine sisters, and my uncle's a priest in the Diocese of Evansville. That being said, despite the good example, to a large extent, I was maybe more than Catholic in name only, but
sure.
certainly lukewarm in my faith.
Sure.
And that spiritual condition really persisted up until the time we were probably expecting our first child. And I really felt a call to conversion there. I'd been attending some Bible study at our parish and learned a little bit about theology of the body, and there were certain things in my life I felt were calling me to conversion. I would say I probably had a few false starts in that call to conversion, but it got me on a road where I realized there was something missing in the way that I was living, and I also went through a career change, and that career change didn't go that well, I guess from a worldly perspective, but I consider it a wonderful grace that God gave me, that I was really confronted, I think, clearly with the way I was living and the changes that needed to come about. And through Catholic radio as well, I thank you for what you do here, because that played a large part. It was a place for me to turn and develop and deepen my understanding of the faith. The resources at EWTN, Father Thomas Dubé for me as well, was really the opening up of the understanding of deeper prayer. It was not something that I'd really considered, much more than our vocal prayers, which are very good, and we should always have as part of our prayer life, that I realized that there was more to that, that it was really about a relationship with God who loves us, right, and that he calls us more and more deeply into a relationship of love with him. And the way, one of the most important ways we enter that is giving him time in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned about the Carmelite saints from some videos and some series by Father Dubé, and then spent time learning about that. And then I actually started to learn about secular orders. You're exactly right. The secular Franciscans are a similar lay group or secular group. They're in the world, right? They're not religious or in the sense of being a sister or a friar. But we are attached to a spirituality from a particular order and part of that order. And so as seculars, we do live in the world, right? And so I had a hard time finding out that there was a secular Carmelite group in town, but once I did, I made a call, found out that the new president was somebody I didn't know but went to my parish.
Oh, my.
The
oh
next
my.
Morning at a ministry fair, I ran into Cheryl Shockley, she's our president again now for our community. And I felt again that there was the working of grace there in drawing me to the Carmelites. And so I had started to apply some of the prayer practices, the Liturgy of the Hours, and mm-hmm. some mental prayer each day. But the order certainly gives a sounder structure to that.
Sure, sure. You know, if you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Gene Carr, who is in formation, and Matt Render, who's the director of formation for the Indy Secular Carmelites. You know, it's kind of interesting. The purpose of the show today is really to raise awareness. And you kind of mentioned it a little bit, you know, off air. And I think that you're kind of a hidden community almost in and amongst us, you know, working all around us, because obviously you're in the world but not of the world almost. But I do think it's important that we as Catholics know all that's offered out there, you know, in order to deepen our experience and our path, you know, our communication and our path with God. You know, in my own prayer, I'm always looking for something to go a little bit deeper, mm-hmm. you know, to have a little bit more. And I was cleaning out my son's closet the other day and ran across a book I gave him years ago. I don't think he ever cracked it, though. It was called Jesus Calling. And it's just a very simple book. It's a perpetual, but it's written in the format that it's like our Lord talking to you every day. And at the bottom there's scripture, you know, that they reference. But it's kind of interesting because it's like he's talking to you every morning. And for me, that has really helped me kind of go deeper in my meditation. So I'm going to love all the things we're going to talk about this afternoon. We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Matt Render, who's the Director of Formation for the Indy Secular Carmelites, and Gene Carr, who's in formation. So let's talk about formation. You said that you were a nurse downtown, so you are working from 9 to 5, if you will, or 3:11s or 3:12s or they don't do 8 hours anymore. They do the crazy hours, for pity's sake. But tell us a little bit about formation. How long is formation, and what expectations? What do you do?
Well, there's several steps that go into formation. When someone is first interested in our local Carmelite group, they come to a couple of meetings and we consider them newcomers. So you just kind of sit in, see how things are. A lot of some personal time is spent just kind of going over what the secular order is about. If this is something that somebody wants to, you know, thinks that they want to pursue, then they start out. The next step is 1 year of being an aspirant. And that is that you kind of learn about the history of the Carmelites, the daily routine of Carmelites. After that, if you want to go on after a year of being an aspirant, then you receive your scapular. And so that's at a ceremony we have like late spring, early summer each year.
Now, by scapular, are you talking about the little 2-inch by 2-inch type scapular?
Well, this one is larger than that.
Okay. So,
probably about the size of like a dinner plate.
Oh, okay. So,
oh, my. Okay.
And that ceremony is that's when you become, after you receive your scapular, then you start our novice program. And so that is what I'm currently in now. I'm in the second year of the novice program. And then after 2 years of that, then you will go, once again, in the ceremony, you would become, have your temporary promises. And so that's what my next step will be.
And you said promises, not vows. So
yes.
Do you take vows, Matt, or are they promises that you keep?
The normal path is to make promises, and they're really to the community. The difference between living this out on your own versus living it out as a secular is that you are attached to a community.
Okay.
And so the monthly meetings are part of that. You receive the formation and support, and you're formally affiliated into the order then. Those are promises of poverty, chastity, and obedience to live them out in our secular vocation. So that doesn't exclude a change of state of life for someone who's single, becoming married, and things of that nature.
Because obviously you are married.
That's correct.
You were married when you became became a
sexual. That's right. Okay. That's right. And so it's really a call to deepen our baptismal vocation to holiness. And so we're seeking to live out those. But we do make those promises. Now, there are really purely optional, and it's to be discerned between someone who's made their final promises and a spiritual director, whether or not they might choose to make vows of obedience and chastity. We don't really take a vow of poverty even at that stage. And I have not made vows to the community. I just made my final promises 2 years ago. But some of the members have discerned that call. And
So what is a vow of chastity? Now, and so, obviously, are you single or mm-hmm, married,
yes.
Jane? Okay, so, and you obviously are married.
That's right.
So if you took a vow of chastity, what would that mean in your married vocation?
It's really the call to live out our vocation according to our state in life.
Okay.
Which
so you still could take a vow of chastity and be happily married and engage
right.
in the renewal of your sacrament on a regular basis.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. So it doesn't exclude that.
It's a way of life.
That's right. It's really a commitment, right. a deepened commitment that we're all called to.
Sure.
But through our promises, we're seeking perfection in our state in life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, I've heard both of you mention the word meetings.
Yes, yes.
How often do you meet? What do you do at a meeting? What is a meeting?
Well, we are.
the meetings are monthly, and the meetings are divided up into different parts of our afternoon. So we usually start with lunch, and so we have some community time. We spend an hour doing that. After that, we have our business meeting. So it's just the local things that are going on in our community. The president leads that, and we just discuss upcoming events, things like that. Then we have a half hour that we go to the chapel, and we just spend just in contemplative prayer. After that, we split up then into our groups based on where you are in formation. And so those groups would then divide. You have each formation group has its own leader. And then depending on what stage you are, then that's what, you're going over that level of formation.
Now, do you do this at a church, or where do you do this? At the meetings?
Yes, we have them at a local church.
We've currently been meeting for about 2 years or more at St. Matthew Church down here at Benford and 56th Street. They've been kind enough to host us as we use several meeting rooms there. And it's typically the second Sunday of the month. The official meeting starts at 1 and ends at 4. We have the hour of social time from noon to 1 before the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this involve your families, or is this a singular project for you?
Yeah, we come alone to the meetings.
Okay.
It does involve my family, because my wife is watching 5 children.
Oh,
and
sure.
I'm away,
boy.
So I owe her a lot for my vocation.
And how many do you have in the Indianapolis community?
We have about 25 at any given meeting. There's a few absences here or there, and a couple members who are older and aren't able to travel anymore, who had made their promises. So our roster, I believe, is right around 30.
Mm-hmm. Now, other than the monthly meetings, what kind of a time commitment is somebody accepting when they say, gee, I want to do that?
Sure. That's a big part of it. Would you like to comment on it, Jean, since you're working through it now?
Sure. Well, usually with the it's like the daily life of a Carmelite. So in the morning, that the liturgy of the hours with the morning prayer, and then in the evening, the evening prayer. And so that's just the daily commitment that a Carmelite makes. Also a half hour each day of contemplative prayer, that you're just, at a moment you just take 30 minutes just to be quiet, just to kind of just listen to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, if you can, daily Mass. And then we always have something each day, a devotion to the Blessed Mother. It could be the rosary, it could be a favorite prayer, something like that, just because we are in Our Lady's order, and that's how we honor her.
Now, there is no way that someone walking down the street could distinguish you from anyone, from anybody else, right? Correct?
I believe that's correct.
That's correct. Okay, so, and if someone's listening and they say, gee, I say my rosary every day. It sounds like my prayer life already. There are a number of people who already do the liturgy of the hours, morning and evening. And if this sounds kind of familiar to some of our listeners, what is the benefit of being a secular Carmelite? What is the benefit? Because there, I mean, this is, it doesn't sound like this is extraordinary. I mean, it doesn't sound like this is a burden, I should say. So if you were talking to someone and you wanted to increase your numbers, what would you say? Because obviously you are the director of formation, so there has to be some sort of recruitment out there other than being on Catholic radio. So what would you say?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's a great question. The first benefit, of course, is it is a vocation. If God's calling you to it, we want to hear that call and then to say yes. But why might he call us to a vocation to live this way rather than to just do it as a private Catholic, right?
Sure. Right.
Some of the best benefits I believe that people seem to reiterate is really the support of the community. When we do meet, although it's only once a month, there's a beautiful sharing. When you share what's deepest and most important, your love for Jesus Christ and his church and your desire for union with him with another person, you can, even though you only meet once a month, you share a very intimate thing with that other, those other people in the community.
Yeah.
And it helps to support you in seeking out that union with Christ. I believe it does. Some people maybe are fed, we're all going to be fed primarily through the sacraments, our sacramental life. But it helps to have these spiritual friends who are guiding us or are experiencing that with us. And another part of that then is the formation that we do receive. So we're learning the spirituality of St. Teresa of Jesus and St. John of the Cross, St. Therese of Lisieux. These are spiritual masters. They're doctors of the church, right? And to go deeply into their writings is not an easy thing, but you have the support of your formators and the other people in the community. And, you know, if God's calling you to that particular path, to that life of prayer, it's a great support in that path and in that seeking. And I think that's one of the things that it can certainly bring. The last thing I think is some days you don't feel like living out that life of prayer. And if it's just me and I just happen to kind of come to it on my own, I might not think that much about saying I'm not going to do morning prayer today, or I'm going to cut short my half an hour of mental prayer. But when I know the community is really dependent upon me, it's a very big, strong encouragement and motivating force to live out that call.
Sure, sure.
And so I think, again, as a secular, it's something that I really treasure, that maybe as a private individual, I wouldn't have that same support. Sure.
Do you interact with the Carmelites locally at all, with the community?
Within the community,
yes,
itself?
Within the community, like the vowed Carmelites.
We had more interaction in the past when there were still some the sisters over on Cold Spring.
Right.
But since then, we're still part of and we're under the friars of the order juridically. And so, but it tends to be more a communication than direct interaction.
Sure, sure. Because I imagine that all across the country, I mean, you have pods, if you will, or that's not quite the religious term, but groups all in most major cities across the country of secular Carmelites. No?
Yes. Yes.
And conventions or an annual get together or an opportunity.
There is a congress that happens in the United States, and then every couple of years. Yes.
Sure.
Where can people find out more about it? Somebody listening to this says, I think I want to do that. What's the next step? What do they do?
They can learn more about it from the Washington Province website. You would look up Washington. I probably don't know the address, but it's Washington Province. OCDS is how we abbreviate. We have a local website. If you searched on Google for Indianapolis OCDS, you would find it. And there's a place where you can inquire about more information from that.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Gene Carr, who is in formation, and Matt Render, who is the director of formation for the Indy Secular Carmelites, the local community. Very interesting. I wonder if you've ever had someone, Matt, who was in your secular community practicing the spirituality and felt called to more.
That's a great question. We actually in the past did, this is before my time in the community, but one of the members who came as a secular in the 1970s, he's now a friar, a Carmelite friar, Father Daniel Chowning, and he's very involved with the order and a wonderful part of our legacy.
Oh, wonderful.
Is there such a thing as discernment? I mean, I know people are always hesitant to make that. Gee, if I called you and said, gee, I want to come to a meeting, then I'm stuck.
That's right. It's a rather long discernment period, as Gene was saying. And it's a two-way street. The individual is discerning, do I have this call? And the community itself
may not want
is
you.
Working with them. Well, we want to find out what God's will is, right? And so a lot of that depends on how well they're able to integrate things into their life, how well they're able to integrate into the community. Mm-hmm. But if an individual discerns they don't have the call, but they have a call to be a secular Franciscan or a Benedictine oblate, it's a gain for the church, right?
Sure,
even
sure.
If they're not called to our community, we'll help with that as well.
Right. You know, this has been very enlightening every time we've had over the years so many different opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, Jim, to talk with people who have kind of living in the world and you don't know that they are, for instance, the hermit. Mm-hmm. There was a hermit here in Indianapolis, I think a couple, but she walked through the door not in habit, you know, not mm-hmm. in any, but she's kind of living in the world, but not of the world.
And that was our one interview that never aired. She
yes.
came in, a hermit, in this case, is a sister who lives in the, keeps her vows kind of very private, but still lives a full life and everything. And she came in and we did a whole interview and we asked her, you know, is there any problem with us, you know, talking about this? Oh, no, no. And then before we aired it, she called and said, could you not air that?
Yeah, she had second thoughts.
And that was perfectly fine.
It was perfectly fine. It's one of the most, in my mind, goes down some of the things that were said during that interview. Very enlightening on both sides. But she said something during the interview that she just had qualms about. And she said, I don't want you to air it. And that was perfectly fine, perfectly fine. But it was, someday we might revisit that, because I think it's interesting when we think hermit, you know, or even we think, you know, someone secular, when you say secular Carmelite, it just seems so mysterious, you know. And I think part of our job here on Faith in Action is to kind of lift the veil, talk about it more, and maybe you will receive some information, you know, people wanting to hear more information. And on that note, how do you find out more? I mean, if someone were listening and they thought, I'm interested, where do they go to get information?
Well, sure. They could certainly search for the Indianapolis OCDS on the web. Can I give out a text
yeah,
number
please.
To text to? I would take a text, 317-610-0670. Just indicate that it has to do with the secular Carmelite community, and we would have set up something.
Sure, and they can always call us here at the station, and we'll track you down.
Sure. Wonderful. God bless you. Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you.
Our guest.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.